That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
All right, y'all, we are killing the sacred cow today. We're going for the jugular. The message of our time, the message being jammed down our throats constantly, is that we should be empowered women. Culture screams in our ear that empowerment, real strength, means never yielding, never needing, never submitting, especially not to God if it costs you status or control. And the church, too often we baptize that message, but try to make it spiritual by slapping a Bible verse on it. We've caved to the culture in the name of righting the wrongs of the patriarchy and some warped sense of power we think we're owed. We have become allergic to the very word meek, because meekness threatens the feminist gospel that says your power is self-generated, self-protected, and self-defined. And don't you know that you are owed that power? Okay, so maybe you aren't a radical feminist, but you shove every Bible verse and every teaching about gentleness and mildness and yielding to the side. We should live quiet lives? Ha! Huh. We should be meek? What a joke. That idea of submitting? Old news. All of this is old, old news, like ancient 2,000 years ago stuff that's not just something to be ignored. It's oppressive and abusive, and it's our job as women today to live in complete opposition to it. We don't need a man. We're loud and proud women, and surely God doesn't want us to limit our self-expression or threaten our strength, right? Actually, Scripture says power under control is greater than power on display. And by the way, Jesus didn't die to turn you into a louder version of culture's ideal woman. Let's be honest, most Christian women don't hate meekness because it's misunderstood. They hate it because it exposes them. Because meekness doesn't flatter your independence. It doesn't encourage your drive to be the leader of the pack. And it definitely doesn't bow to your carefully curated strong woman of God brand. Somewhere along the way, we decided meekness meant silence. So we rejected it, while on the other hand, loudly demanding to be heard. Kind of an oxymoron. Can we be loud about something else today? Can we call things what they really are? Can we be honest that what we often call confidence is just us seeking control? That what we call discernment is most of the time resistance to obedience? And what we call strength can be flat out rebellion. We just wrap it in a nice, neat little scripture package and put a worldly definition of self-respect and self-esteem on it. Jesus said, "The meek will inherit the earth." Not the loudest, not the strongest, not the ones who confuse dominance with dignity. So if meekness irritates you, good. That irritation might just be conviction knocking. And today, we're answering the door. When we talk Christian character, when we talk reflecting our Savior, we have to include meekness as a major part of the conversation. Notice I did not say weakness. I did not say, go stand in the corner and do what you're told. I did not say you are a child from the 50s who's meant to be seen and not heard. That's where you have to tell your preconceived notions to zip it and let your mind be renewed by the Word of God. We have to recover what meekness actually is, because meekness is not weakness. It's not passivity. It's not silence because we're afraid. So one of the most well-known references in Scripture to meekness is in Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus calls the meek blessed in his Sermon on the Mount. Not pitied, not tolerated, not quiet in the corner, blessed. Biblical meekness is strength under control, a power that's learned to bow the knee, a life shaped by humble trust in God's authority. Now, in the Beatitudes, meekness does not stand alone. There's a progression in Matthew 5, 1 through 11, and it's really significant. First, we have to recognize our spiritual bankruptcy, and that's what Jesus means by being poor in spirit. Then we grieve our sin before God. That's the second beatitude when Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. And then comes the call to meekness, to surrendering your self-rule. Meekness flows out of repentance. Once you've stopped pretending that you're self-sufficient, once you've stopped defending your sin, you're finally ready to stop defending yourself. Meekness is the fruit of a heart that's learned. I don't have to be in charge to be secure. In fact, my security is grounded in the very reality that I'm not in charge. So blessed are the meek. And here's the cool part. When we understand what meekness actually means, we will gladly and joyfully get off the warpath of female empowerment. Check this out. The original language Matthew uses to record these words of Jesus carry that sense of strength under control that we've already been talking about. It's not weakness Jesus is talking about. It's power that's been surrendered to a higher authority, the highest authority, actually. Picture a wild horse that's been tamed. That horse is not weak. It's still strong. It's just restrained. It's responsive to its master's hand. And that's the spirit of meekness, not abandoning strength, but yielding it in faith, in submission to God's mighty hand. I've been reading in Matthew Henry's book, The Quest for Meekness and Quietness of Spirit, this past week, and he wrote that meekness is a calm temper of spirit, not easily provoked, and willing to be the least. He also says that it's not natural, meekness. It's the fruit of the Spirit, cultivated in those who know they're poor in spirit and have mourned over their sin. Meekness flows from that heart of humility. It begins when we realize how much grace we've received, and it shows in how we respond to disappointment, to opposition, to injury. Moses is called the meekest man on earth in Numbers 12, 3, and that's not because he lacked conviction. It was because he was willing to submit to God's plan, even under attack. And Jesus himself said, "I am meek and lowly in heart," in Matthew 11, 29. Stop for a second and get your head around that. Jesus, the Messiah, the God-man who calmed storms and raised the dead, described himself as meek. Clearly, this isn't weakness. For Jesus, it's divine self-control driven by love. Matthew Henry, he defines meekness as a gracious habit of soul, whereby we quietly submit to the will of God, patiently bear injuries, and govern our passions. That definition alone confronts pretty much everything that our flesh instinctively reaches for. And like all the character qualities that Jesus highlights in Matthew 5, meekness doesn't come naturally to us. It feels wrong to us because it cuts directly against the grain of the fallen human heart. Our default mode is self-protection. Defend your reputation, assert your rights, explain yourself, make sure your side is heard. We are trained by culture and often by our own fears, our own fallen human nature, to believe that strength means control over circumstances and people. But Scripture defines strength differently. Meekness in Scripture connects to a spirit submitted to God's will. Not denying our emotions, but submitting our emotions to God and His word for sanctification. The meek person still feels deeply, still experiences emotions. They just simply refuse to let their feelings take the throne, to be that big dog on a leash dragging them down the street. One other thing I found so helpful from Henry's book, which by the way was first published right around 1698, 1699, were two qualities of meekness that he includes. The first is weakness of spirit towards self. This is not self-hatred. It's the death of self-importance. It's an attitude of self-forgetfulness, of denying self to live for Christ. He says meekness, like all the stuff we see coming out of us, starts in our hearts. I think I'm remembering this right. Henry says something like, the grace to have a gentle, meek spirit is like a flower that grows best in the garden of faith and humility. And that it's our job to cultivate that garden on a daily basis. The cultivation begins with trusting God to be the defender and vindicator. We don't have to say everything we're thinking. We don't have to follow through with every instinct to speak up, shout out, make our point. We don't have to be right or seen or heard or the ultimate winner in every situation. And the best part is living like this grounds our worth in the worth of Christ, in our unity with Him. So we're able to live peaceably, quietly. A loud, restless spirit is the fruit of pride, but meekness of spirit brings blessings. Henry also talks about a quietness of spirit toward God. Now, this posture of meekness is vertical. It's toward God Himself. It means accepting His providence with trust instead of constantly complaining. It's the heart that says, Lord, You know best. You're wise in all Your ways. That's meekness, entrusting ourselves to the Lord, even when life is so confusing, we can't make sense of what's going on around us, let alone inside us. That's a quiet spirit, a stillness of the soul that rests in God's sovereignty. It doesn't mean we never grieve, but we just refuse to grumble. This is where meekness is costly because we have to lay down our expectations and preferences and trust that God is working all things together for His ultimate purposes. The truth is, God reigns over all things, even the small irritations and the great afflictions. So the meek heart accepts what He ordains as wise and good. So, question, do you trust God's wisdom more than your own?
And we'll be back with more from Libby in just a moment, who is teaching about meekness, and she's not apologizing for it either. Most Christian women have been convinced for so long that meekness equals doormat, and so they reject the entire concept. But Libby is showing that meekness is actually strength under control. But the message the culture sends, that's pretty clear. They say never yield, never submit, never need anyone. And Christian women have bought into this, all while trying to find Bible verses to justify it. So we've created this weird hybrid where you can be a strong woman of God as long as you never actually do what God says about gentleness. It's really a tragic situation that's happening, and I think just like so many others, that Libby is shining a light on it. And something else that I would urge you to get and have in your pocket is Fortis Plus, because it's packed with hundreds of hours of content from people like Libby and Brad Bigney, Dr. Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Todd Friel, and the content they're producing doesn't try to make biblical truth more comfortable for modern ears. No, they're creating content on womanhood, on marriage, on parenting, on character, on theology. And all of the content that you're going to find on Fortis Plus isn't 10 years old. It's not just old static content. We're adding to it every single day. New material, because the pressure to remake scripture and culture's image never lets up. And something else about the content that you're going to find on Fortis Plus, it's absolutely free. We understand just how important the cultural moment we're in right now is, and we don't want to hide anything behind a paywall. So download it right now wherever you download apps, on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or you can just go to fortisplus.org. And here's the reason why it's free. It's free because of people like you. We call them gospel partners, but men and women just like you have been impacted by the content that we're creating at Fortis Institute, so much so that they wanted to stand with us to make sure more people in more places all over the world also have access to this content. And if that's you, we would be honored to stand arm in arm with you, only if you're already giving to your local church. That's our caveat, because that's the number one giving priority of the Christian. And if you're not giving to your local church, we don't want you giving to us. You won't hear many ministries say that, but we are going to say that until we're blue in the face. We never want anyone to give to us over their local church. If you're not faithfully giving to your local church, get that part of your life taken care of before you give to our ministry. And then when you do get that taken care of, you can get all of the answers to all of your questions at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Libby Glosson as she continues to make the connection between meekness and repentance. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glosson.
Before we dive back in, just a quick reminder. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify or Amazon, would you just hit the follow button? That'll just make sure you don't miss any future episodes. And if you're on Apple, leaving a review really helps more people find the show. Or if you're on Spotify, a quick star rating will do the same thing. We're bucking the system today, my friends. We are swimming upstream. Jesus, Matthew 5:5, he says, blessed are the meek. And we already talked about a biblical understanding of what that really means. So a quick pullover on the side of the road, because we can all plaster a smile on our face and act the part of the meek woman. So all you Oscar award winners out there, listen up for a second. If you just change your behavior, that doesn't count. If your heart is not operating with an attitude of meekness, not much has changed. Meekness is not just being silent without submission in your heart. You can be externally quiet and internally raging. True meekness surrenders not only words, not only actions, but rights. Meekness doesn't deny pain. It's not emotional suppression. It simply refuses to weaponize those emotions. The meek person brings their emotions under God's authority and to the sufficiency of Scripture and doesn't wield her emotions over others. Jesus was meek. He overturned tables, though. So meekness is not passivity towards sin. Meekness doesn't mean avoiding confrontation. It means confronting without self-exaltation, without trying to prove that you're right or win the argument. You want to know what meekness looks like in its purest form? Look to Jesus. Think of his silence before Pilate, his gentleness with sinners, his compassion for those who hurt him. Peter writes that when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. Instead, he entrusted everything to God the Father who judges justly. At any moment, Jesus could have summoned legions of angels to take his accusers out, to flatten all those people shouting, "Crucify him." He could have pulled himself down from the cross, but he was voluntarily and willingly restrained by love for the Father and obedience to his ultimate redemptive plan. Christ's meekness was not weakness. It was perfect strength under submission to the Father's will. At Calvary, on the cross, he bore every injustice without complaint because he trusted his Father's purpose. He washed the disciples' feet, even Judas's feet, who was going to betray him and send him to the cross only hours later. And Jesus, he directs this meekness towards us. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And that's our pattern. The meek spirit of Christ is to be formed in us, not through self-effort, but by the Holy Spirit working in us through grace. Meekness is not a moral badge we earn. It's evidence, proof of a heart transformed by the gospel. And when we follow Jesus's example, we understand that meekness flows from knowing and trusting God's sovereignty, and that nothing can happen apart from his decree. When the believer rests in that truth, there's no need for panic. We don't have to be prideful. We don't have to seek revenge. We can forbear. We can forgive. We can overlook. Meekness is Christ-likeness expressed in surrender and should be a huge part of the Christian's character. Now, like with all the Beatitudes, there is a beautiful promise connected directly to the call. This one's awesome. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Why does Jesus attach this incredible promise to meekness of all things, that the meek shall inherit the earth? At first, it sounds kind of paradoxical, doesn't it? How can the meek, those who don't seize or demand, inherit anything? But that's the point. The inheritance of the earth, it isn't seized. It's granted. It's given. It's the same earth promised to Abraham, renewed and redeemed in the coming kingdom of Christ. The proud, they might build their empires now, but those empires, they're going to fade. It's the meek who will reign with Christ in the new heaven and new earth. And even now, the meek enjoy a foretaste of that promise because we get a calm and a content and a quiet heart that already possesses all things in Christ. Matthew Henry again, he says, "The meek, though they are likely to be trampled on, yet they shall have dominion promised to them, for God's special blessing is upon them." And that's the beauty of the gospel. We lose nothing by yielding to God, and we gain everything in Christ. The meek trust God to give what he's promised he's going to give. They don't try to extract blessing through force or manipulation. The meek are free from frantic self-promotion because we truly believe that what God has for us can't be taken from us. And this inheritance gives us a freedom from the tyranny of constant striving. We can rest in what's already ours in Christ, because one day this whole earth is going to belong to those who lived humbly under God's reign. And that's the eternal inheritance of the meek. So how do we grow in meekness? How do we cultivate that garden we were talking about earlier so that the fruit of gentleness grows in our character, in our Christ-likeness? Well, meekness, it shows up in pretty ordinary places. When we're criticized, we're willing to respond with patience instead of defensiveness. When someone wrongs us, we want to seek peace rather than retaliation. When we're put in a position where we're leading other people, we're gentle. We're not coming from a place of control and power. When our plans unravel, when our expectations are dashed, this has been a huge one for me in my own life lately, we don't completely collapse in devastation. Now, meekness doesn't mean that we're silent in the face of evil, but it does shape how we speak. We can confront error without arrogance and disagree without despising another person. Just a quick personal example, there was a season in my life about a decade ago when my words were understood and there were some unkind things spread about me, and my natural instinct was to fight back. I wanted to clear my name. But God reminded me, hey, I am in control. The truth is going to stand without you striving to set it right. So rest in me. So instead of trying to clear my name and fix everything, I prayed for the people involved instead. And in time, peace came. And I learned that God's way truly is the better way. Meekness asks, do I trust God enough to stop grasping at straws, to stop trying to exert power I don't even have? It's not weakness, it's worship. So listen, here's just a few practical things that you can do in your own life on the day-to-day. Look to Christ. Jesus doesn't commend a virtue that he himself refused to embody, as we already talked about. He is meek and lowly in heart. His meekness was not the absence of power, but power willingly restrained under the Father's will. So this means more than just admiring Christ's gentleness and meekness. It means that we behold how he responded when he was wronged, misunderstood, opposed, and we respond in like kind. We behold Christ by faith, by reading God's word, not by some emotional experience we have, and then we're conformed to Christ's likeness. Remember that God's sovereign. Meekness is totally impossible without being confident, settled in your confidence in God's rule. Our worldview should be God governs all things, even offenses, even delays, even disappointments. If nothing enters your day apart from the Father's hand, then nothing requires you to seize control in order to survive. This is our functional belief in God's sovereignty. So we're not anxious because we know and we believe that outcomes depend on God. The Lord reigns. We can respond gently because our lives aren't fragile. We know that obedience to God is what he desires. Pray for the Spirit's grace. This is hard. This is not a personality trait that comes naturally. It truly is a fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of gentleness. It requires honesty in prayer. We have to ask, Lord, help me. I naturally want to control. I'm easily offended. I don't trust you here. Help me in these areas. And practice patience in the small things. Like I said, meekness, it's learned in the ordinary, in the little everyday things. The curriculum for sanctification is the day to day, in the small moments. Am I going to entrust myself to God? And remember, a quiet spirit, it's not formed overnight. It is a process of progressive sanctification. Ask God to give you a quiet heart, one that doesn't demand its own way, but trusts His way. The better way is not louder strength. Thank you very much, world. It is a quieter trust in Christ. Meekness is not losing. It's laying down the need to win. Mm-hmm. It's strength that submits. It's confidence that rests in God alone. And according to Christ, this is the very posture that God delights to reward. So may we believe Him. May you believe Him today and walk in this truth. And may we learn slowly, humbly, and faithfully to walk out the character quality of meekness, strength under control. And now that you know the better way to think about meekness, yet another aspect of the Christian's character, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.